We're still studying First Thessalonians chapter 5. We're studying this, prove all things. Let's go to Romans 1. Start verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Remember, that's a translation from, a quote from Habakkuk. In Habakkuk, it says, the just shall live by his faith. His meaning another. So, the just shall live by his faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, made like unto corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. We're getting to where we're going to study. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet, or which was necessary. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now, the word that says, even as they did not like to retain God, that means that what they did is they put God to the test so that they would be in judgment of God. And so, it's a biggie. You're sometimes about you. You know, you have a foxhole theology or something, and then it seems to work because you got out of it. But then you start doing all kinds of other things. You put God to the test by some prayer, and if it's not answered, then you did not like to retain God in your own knowledge. And then it becomes this cycle where God gave them up to go boom, 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 boom down the tubes. All right?
They were trying to prove God by their definition,
instead of putting to the test the things of faith to find out whether they're true.
So you're setting yourself up over God.
Yeah. All right, now we're going to go to a bunch of different places. 1 Corinthians 3.
Well, it sounds like in that case we were, say if I had an expectation, I wanted God to make a change in me, it didn't happen, and I was upset with her.
Unfortunately, this is what what's happening in many of the charismatic prosperity gospel circles. The people that over the years have called us, they, because they didn't get what the preacher promised, then they left because that this can't be true. So it's a, they
it also sounds like a judgment against God.
Yeah.
Don't they? They leave that church and the church, don't they?
They what?
I mean, they just leave God completely because he's failed. He didn't provide, so they say, well, this is a bogus deal.
Right. They don't go to another group. They just leave.
Check out.
Right. All right, 1 Corinthians 13. All right. Yeah, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now this, and then it goes on, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so by fire. So the real, the end result, the end test that all of us will eventually go through is this trial of fire. Not some dumb thing that we did once, but the trial, the baptism of fire going from time and space into eternity. So, does everybody see that?
No. I just wasn't quite plugged in.
Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. The day shall test it. The day shall prove it.
That day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
But every man's work. Work is every man's response to the gospel.
Well, it's some, they build something other than faith on the on the foundation. The foundation is Jesus Christ. And all of these things of wood, hay, and stubble, or gold and silver, those are all the stupid idols that you've built in your mind.
Yeah, that's living by your faith, not his faith. And you're not proving every word,
right,
which is what we're talking about.
Right. But the point of it is, that the to me, the beauty of this is where it says that there, it says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. So that's by fire. So we can't judge anybody down, even if they think they're doing stupid things.
That sets us free, too.
Huh?
That sets us free.
Yeah. All right, then go to 1 Corinthians 16.
It's not our job.
It's not our job.
Hmm?
It's not our job. It's
no.
Like, you know, we think
right.
It's our job, think again.
1 Corinthians 16, starting verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in the store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. And when I come, whosoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. So this is the one that every preacher uses to get people to give. But this was a biggie because there was a massive famine in Jerusalem. The Christians in Jerusalem were suffering badly. And so Paul raised money in Macedonia and Galatia to, and then he had somebody that was approved to take that money to Jerusalem. Okay? We're studying here the different ways of approving things. Okay, 2 Corinthians 8. Starting start in verse 16, 15. As it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, being more forward, of his own accord he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother, whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not only that, but who also... who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace which he administered by us to the glory of the same Lord, in declaration of your ready mind. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in the abundance which is administered by us, providing for honest things not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of man. And as we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oft times proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. So again, he's talking about this raising the funds, and he's talking about the only people that should be part of the funding keepers, if you will, are those that have been proved faithful. All right, now let's go to Philippians. Chapter 1. Well, let's start in verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet or necessary for me to think this all of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you were all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in all the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may prove things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Again, exhortation to prove or approve. Okay? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians, where we were, but let's go to chapter 2.
The effect this is having as we go through it is the approval is a function of being on the mercy seat so that you see correctly, and approval is not your opinion. It's you see correctly what is and right. Judge correctly.
And you, right. I'm not going to go here, but all the other ones, when preachers or bishops are appointed and they are approved by what their life had been, and then they lay hands on. Now, a bishop isn't some muckety-muck. It's just someone who is over more than one seder.
And he's the servant.
And he's the servant of all.
That's how you see his approval, is because of that. Not right. That he's famous or whatever.
Well, for neither at any time use we flattering words.
Excuse me, I don't know where we are.
Verse 4, or where are we now?
Thessalonians.
We're in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2.
Verse 5?
Well, yeah, but I'm trying to figure out where we stopped reading. For our exhortation was not of deceit, in verse 3, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust, with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. The point of this is that everything is proved. Everything. It's proved, but individually, you have to prove it vis-a-vis your heart. And that's what we're going to see in a minute. Go to the famous one first. No, let's go to 1 Peter 1 first. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively or a live hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept, are garrisoned by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness or depressed through manifold temptations or testings, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the revelation or appearing of Jesus Christ. So what does this mean? You have to expect that there's going to be a trial of your faith. And it manifests itself in weird ways. As a child, you're depressed, and so you go take a pill. But finally, some point in time, you say in yourself or to God, "Here I stand. I don't care what happens. I don't care if the buildings are all torn down. I don't care if every sustenance I have up to the flesh is gone. Here I stand." And this is why, again, from the very beginning, I've prayed to God, let the world, the devil, and the flesh take their best shot. And so the point of this is, I'm emphasizing is that you must know that. Don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial that is trying as though some strange thing had happened. Amen? But every time something happens, then the first thing they do is think that they shouldn't be there.
Right.
All right.
Only in verse 6, what is manifold? I've heard of manifest.
Many, many.
Lots of them.
Bunches.
I've heard it in automotive terms.
Manifold grace
many.
Of God. Not the manifold in the car. All right, let's go back to Proverbs. Chapter 8. Verse 6. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse to them. In them they are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find instruction. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared with it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Anyway, the point of it is, you're to be tried just like silver and gold. First, you have to find the gold. So you find a quartz rock, and you beat the crap out of the rock, and there's the gold. Little specks of gold, or you pan for it. Anyway, you get the gold. And then you heat it up to like 2,000 degrees, some unconscionable heat, so that it melts and the dross is taken off. Then you get acid poured on you, so that anything other than gold will be gone. So that's the same. This is the test. This is the trial of faith that all believers must go through.
And you don't like any part of it. You don't like acid poured on you. You don't like the beating. You don't like any of it. But it's not your business. God decides to do things.
I remember when, for a long time I got $20 a week from the foundation. And I was living in the office there on Newton. And we didn't have a car then. And so I would walk or take the bus from there over to Highland Park Cafeteria. And I ate one meal a day. So I could eat for $1.86, just vegetables. And, you know, at first, I thought, this is just going to last a couple of days. We're going to...
Surely God will express this.
Yeah.
I remember going to Highland Park Cafeteria with you and showing me, you know, how you could eat real cheap.
Well, then Harry came along, a credit card millionaire. And then I started, then he'd take me out to eat. And then you remember... Each group family would have me come and eat at their place one night a week.
Yeah. Keep you alive.
But again,
that's just remaining under, you know, just.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what happens. The one that was most difficult for me was the pain.
Yeah.
But then when I finally was able to ask God to forgive me for wanting to be delivered from pain. And I had bad stuff happen to me when I was, because I was stupid before I was a believer. I mean, I did all kinds of dumb things. But I've had more crap happen to me since I've been a believer than any unimaginable compared to. But anyway, the point of it is, you will reach a point where you glory in tribulation. Not as a masochist, but because you know that the trial of faith is what we're appointed for. And he that has begun this good work is faithful to complete it. Or in Isaiah, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Really, all we have to do is hang around and not try to escape chastisement or something. The biggest thing for me, bigger than pain even, was my response to Doug and Wendy's book. Before, my first response would have been destroy them or sue, or, you know. But by the grace of God, my honest response was, don't say anything, don't defend anything. I don't know if that's right or wrong. I think I should have taken back that prayer about the world, the devil, and the flesh taking your best shot. Maybe I can change that now since I'm old.
How would you spin it?
Okay, God, give us some goodies now.
Thanks for taking your best shot. I appreciate it. Now let's move on.
All right, Proverbs 17.
Chapter 17.
Proverbs chapter 17.
You know what you just said is interesting. It's like having been proved, it won't matter if you have goodies or not. They won't be consumed upon yourself, and God can trust you.
Yeah.
That the work that is done is complete and not subject to that.
Well, it's not complete by any means.
But in Christ it is.
All right, chapter 17. This is kind of it. I didn't realize this was the next thing it says. Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife or house full of goodies. A wise servant shall have rule over a son that causeth shame. And I can't even see. I'm getting dizzy again. Will you read it, Gary?
Which one are we on, two or three?
Verse two.
A wise servant shall have rule over a son that causeth shame, and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren.
Keep going.
The fining pot is for silver, and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth hearts. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker, and he that is glad at calamity shall not be unpunished.
Calamities of others is what it says.
Yeah. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers.
That's enough. But the point of it is, you see that being satisfied with what you have, don't worry about the refining fire or the acid or the beatings. It's all what we are appointed to. But the unbelievable, it's what tries your heart so that there's no difference between what goes on in you and what the outward is. It's the same. You say, like, I can't even believe how many stupid things I say. But if I tried ever to govern myself, then I'd be a liar from the standpoint of his faith.
Yeah, be prophesying from your heart.
In the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that's probably, I've said a million stupid things. Anyway. That's enough on proving. Now we're going to, the next one. Amen. We got it. We might have to go one more. Well, this is kind of the ultimate. Jesus says, I am, this book, it's John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now that sounds like, okay, but it can never be your truth. It can never be, you know, your way, and it can never be your life. This whole thing about returning to our first love, it's coming back with everything in us to that presence in us being corporate. And that presence is what does the work that makes all things. It has nothing to do with us thinking up things to do. It has to do with waiting on him to reveal the way, to reveal his truth, and to reveal his life. Amen?
Amen.
All righty. Test to see if it's true. No living in, remember, a precision. Everything has to have precision instead of this mush.
The gray mush.
All right? There's probably a good reason why your brain is called gray matter. Anything else, Mr. Rosanna? Rosanna Dana? Is she gonna be in the
She might make an appearance.
She should make an appearance.
Yeah.
All right.
It's possible.
Take it, big guy.
She's got a busy schedule, but